91X News.
It's 23 degrees with a few clouds. At 4 o'clock, from the QNET Newsroom, good afternoon. I'm Casey Horn. Bring out the orange shirts this Friday. No, not for Halloween, but for a much more important reason. Orange Shirt Day is the legacy of the St. Joseph Mission Residential School commemoration. The event grew out of Phyllis's story, a short story written by Phyllis Webstad, who wore an orange shirt on her first day at the mission and had it taken away. Orange shirts are worn near the beginning of the school year to commemorate those who were forced to attend residential schools. Shirley Williams is a survivor of these schools. She says that before Stephen Harper's apology in 2008, not many people knew about what had happened.
Before the apology and Truth and Reconciliation, there were a lot of people that didn't know anything about this. They were not aware.
Now she says raising awareness is very important to educate people about the future.
We need to look at how can we make a better world today to understand what happened.
Many communities across the country have been recognizing the legacy and educating people about residential schools since 2013. While students at Loyalist get a break for reading week, the sports teams will continue to play. The Loyalist Lancers will still be playing their regular games during the week. Athletic director Jim Buck says he doesn't give study week a second thought.
We would never get our fall sports schedules in if we shut it down for a whole week. So the way we approach it is it's a good chance for students to academically get caught up on things and have a bit more time, you know, get their academics in order and still practice and play games. But we don't look at it as a free week off to go home and disappear. And I know some people do, but athletically, we don't, and the OCA doesn't look at it that way. We just can't afford to take a week off in the middle of October, a busy time for the fall sports.
Loyalist Women's Volleyball co-head coach Amy Hoskin says it may be an academic study week, but the team is still going.
So the way we look at it is it might be an academic study break, but all of our teams are still active and still going throughout the week. So we don't really get an entire week off. As a coach, I try and give my girls a couple days off to kind of get their stuff together, make sure their academics are on track, maybe get home and see their family a little bit. But then towards the end of the week, we always have practices and stuff going, and we always have a tournament at the end of that week.
The Loyalist Lancers begin their games right after Thanksgiving. Detectives are investigating a report of a man impersonating a police officer in Hamilton. Police say a woman was pulled over last Friday afternoon by a man driving what appeared to be an unmarked police car with a red flashing light on the dashboard. The woman, who believed it was a police officer initiating a traffic stop, told investigators that the man got out of the car and identified himself as a police officer while quickly flashing some kind of badge. They say the man then demanded the woman get out of her vehicle, but returned to his car and left when she questioned him about his identity and said she was contacting police by phone. Investigators say the suspect was driving an older Ford Crown Victoria and is described as a bald white man in his late 40s or early 50s with a brown-gray goatee and about 6 feet tall. A 33-year-old Ontario man suspected in a Montreal hit-and-run that killed a woman is to be returned to Quebec to face charges. The man was arrested near North Bay, Ontario on Monday. Montreal police say they believe he was behind the wheel of a stolen pickup truck. The 2012 Chevy Silverado was located Monday night after the Ontario Provincial Police arrested the driver for highway safety code violations. Police say the truck will be taken from North Bay to Montreal for analysis. Alberta Premier Rachel Notley says Ottawa's conditional approval of a multi-billion dollar liquefied natural gas project in British Columbia strikes the right balance.
We're encouraged that the federal government appears to be rolling up its sleeves to try and sort of navigate a path towards what we have always believed is an important combination of sustainable economic growth while ensuring that you address environmental issues.
The Pacific Northwest LNG project on the BC coast would ship 19 billion tons of liquefied gas a year to markets in Asia. Local communities nationwide are being encouraged to hold meetings focused on their thoughts and suggestions around electoral reform in Canada. Scott Gardner has more.
Local MPs have recently been holding meetings open to all residents of all party affiliations to join in a discussion around proposed changes to the way Canada votes in its elections. Although there was no consensus reached on any one form of electoral change, there was a general agreement that it's important to raise voter participation, especially among younger voters. Matt Richardson, constituency assistant to Neil Ellis, reiterates that concern from Sunday's electoral reform meeting in Belleville.
The concern or the area of interest was, at the end of the day, how do we get more young people to vote and how do we get people re-engaged in this system and democracy?
Jamie Simmons, communication director for MP Kim Rudd of Northumberland and Peterborough South, agrees that there should be an emphasis on the importance of gathering the youth vote.
Federal, provincial, municipal, there's no question the needs for increased youth.
Offering Canadians the chance to vote online is widely seen as a viable option to attract more youth voters, as well as those restricted by accessibility and transportation complications. Richardson says he is in favor of implementing an online vote option, so long as it is done safely and responsibly.
I like the idea of online voting personally. Obviously, it would have to be done with the utmost care. So I think provided it was done properly with all due diligence, how could it hurt if you had the ability to vote off of your laptop or your phone?
Highlights and suggestions from these local meetings will be submitted to a special committee on electoral reform by October 7th and compiled into a federal report sometime in December. Scott Gardner, QNET News, Belleville.
That's QNET News on 91X to 4:06 p.m. Sports is next.
Harvest time is heavenly at Huff Estates Winery and Inn. The hot, dry summer of 2016 created ideal conditions for grape growing in Prince Edward County. Huff Estates award-winning wines promise to be at their best. White, red, sparkling, or rosé. Planning a holiday party for family, friends, or staff? Huff Estates indoor patio is perfect. Book your hassle-free celebration today. Huff Estates Winery and Inn, Highway 62 and County Road 1, Bloomfield. Visit huffestates.com. Huff Estates, uncork, unwind, unmatched.
QNET Sports. Toronto FC looks to move back into first place in Major League Soccer's Eastern Conference when it hosts Orlando tonight. Toronto can move past the New York Red Bulls with a win or a draw. Also tonight, the Vancouver Whitecaps take on Trinidad and Tobago, and the Montreal Impact hosts San Jose. Top-ranked Angelique Kerber fell to Petra Kvitova in the third round of the Wuhan Open today. Kvitova saved 17 of 22 breakpoints on her way to win over Kerber, who committed 8 double faults. Kerber replaced Serena Williams atop the women's tennis rankings with her run to the U.S. Open title. The Houston Texans have placed star defensive end J.J. Watt on injured reserve. The two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year missed training camp and Houston's 4 preseason games after surgery in July to repair a herniated disc in his back. He started each of the team's 3 regular season games, but was hurt again Thursday against the Patriots. The Miami Marlins have scheduled a public memorial service today for pitcher Jose Fernandez, who was killed in a weekend boat crash along with 2 friends. Authorities are investigating the cause of the crash early Sunday into a rock jetty off South Beach. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio is asking for an investigation into the safety of the jetty. Team Europe's defensive Dennis Seidenberg says Canada provides a stiff challenge, but his teammates believe they can get the victory.
We look at our game, at our team, and what we have to do in order to be successful. Obviously, all of the favorites, and they have the best players in the world, but it's about playing our system and trying to frustrate them in any way, and that's basically what we're trying to do.
Game 2 of the best of 3 series goes Thursday night in Toronto. And a black former college coach, soccer coach, accused of killing his ex-girlfriend's 12-year-old son has been found not guilty in New York. Orel Nick Hillary was tried for second-degree murder in the 2011 killing of Garrett Phillips. Hillary hugged his lawyer and cried Wednesday morning as Judge Felix Katina made his ruling. The boy was choked to death in an apartment in Potsdam, a college town near the Canadian border. Prosecutors lacked DNA or fingerprint evidence and relied on a largely circumstantial case. Hillary's lawyer argued the case was weak and repeated the claims of critics who said authorities in the largely white community unjustly prosecuted him. Hillary was the head soccer coach at Clarkson University. Send us your team or league scores. Email us at qnetnewsdesk@gmail.com. The forecast for Belleville: partly cloudy tonight and a low of 13. Mainly cloudy tomorrow and a high of 19. A mix of sun and cloud on Friday with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 19. And on Saturday, cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 18. At 4:10, it's 23 degrees. QNET News, on the air at 91X and online at qnetnews.ca. Remember to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. I'm Casey Horn. Next, news on 91X, next at 5 o'clock.